Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Good morning, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. I hope you're ready for Fun with Melly. Give me the thumbs up if you can hear me and see me. I'm a little late. Sorry about that. But here we are. Here we go. We're going to be talking about Purim today because it's coming up March 3rd. And that is, for those of you who are not familiar, that is the celebration of the destruction of our enemies for such a time as this. The Lord has awakened us. And if I talk about it, I'm going to start to cry because it's just so amazing that the Lord awakened us for this moment and for us to be in this battle to fight and all this time and joined and brought us together. I'm just so thankful. And I know it, I just see you guys on the chat. I know you just have such a great time together and that we've just been shoulder to shoulder this entire time. I really do believe this is the end game. This is very likely we're at the point here on the 21st of January where we just might hear the storm is upon us. Because this storm is going to hit 40, this ice storm is going to hit 40 states. I think there's something behind that. We'll see. We'll find out how it all plays out. But either way, Purim is coming, the celebration of the annihilation of our enemies. And so I want us to update, make sure everybody understands what that celebration is about and what happened in there. And so I think you'll really love it. So yeah, give me a thumbs up if everything is A-okay. Thank you, H. Clay. I appreciate that. Now, let's get started. That's where the famous phrase comes from, for such a time as this. Now, this is January. Here we are on January. We are on what day? We're on the 24th of January. And so we just passed the new moon. You know, all of these, I don't think I need my earphones right now. All of these biblical festivals occur according to the lunar calendar. And so we just passed the new moon. After Christmas, there a lot started happening, just really ramping up a lot more. And so now I just feel like it's go time. I really do. I've never seen such a thing as this. Never seen all of these things happening. We've had so much going on over the past 7 years, but then these past 30 days, it's really ramped up and, I really think that this is it. All right, so hope and pray that it is, because I know you're ready and I am too. Anyway, so here we are on the 24th of January, and now when you look at, go to the next new moon is on the 17th, and 1 month from that is the new moon festival, and that is Purim on, actually full moon, sorry about that. Said new moon, but I meant full moon, on March 3rd, 3-3, which would be appropriate for the cabal to be brought down at that point. So will it be done by then, or will it be that's when the whole house of cards falls? Because in March, we know there are margin calls on them, so they won't be able to financially cover their losses. Yay! Just like what it says in Habakkuk, you know, we will taunt them. We will mock them, saying, "What sorrow awaits you, thieves? Now you will get what you deserve." And that's what Purim is all about, is that the enemies of God's people, those who are out to destroy us, who are out to kill us, literally, that they will be destroyed. It's us or them. That's really well all it boils down to. And yeah, if you think that's maybe not very Jesus-y, that is very Jesus-y. It is very Jesus-y. If you heard that Revelation 19 that I was just reading at the very beginning of the in the opener, that's what he does. On his he had a robe, as it says, dipped in blood. That's the blood of his enemies. He had a sharp sword in his mouth to strike down the nations, the enemies. He, you know, had his robe at his thighs, written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's fire in his eyes, right? This is our Lord Jesus coming to destroy those who have done so much evil on this earth. So here we are, you know, a month and a half away is where what I was trying to say. Don't forget, let's get started. And I want to take you through all these wonderful passages in Purim. In Esther, and we're going to be doing chapters 1 and 2 today. And then we're going to be doing some every Saturday until Purim starts. So don't forget, hit the button to like and subscribe and share. And always doing that is really appreciative. I really appreciate it very much that you're doing that to help get the good news out. There's so much fear mongering, and we're not about that. We're about faith. We're about looking at what the Lord is doing, and he's rescuing humanity. That is what we're seeing. And you can go and check out my website, melissaredpill.com or melissaredpill.com. I have tons of videos over there for you to watch and catch up with what we're talking about. Plus, learn about the end times, the truth about end times, the wonderful truth is the end times for them and 1,000 years of peace for us. That is where we are on the timeline of history. I have the audiobooks here so you can actually listen to my books, and also you can find the social media right there. And here is wonderful information about how you can maintain your health, because these people are crazy. All right. We just got out of the WHO, just by the way. Yesterday, President Trump announced that we're out of the WHO. That is anything but health organization. It's the World Non-Health Organization. And so we're going to have true, wonderful health. So definitely check into that. I've got tons of videos about how you can improve your health. Now, this is a picture of the court, the royal court of Artaxerxes, about, I don't know, 475 years before Christ. Opulent. This is basically the Babylonian Empire was the head of gold and ruled the world. And all of the subjects, the way they've got him pictured here is he's huge and they're just little, you know, peons. But he ruled the world, and everybody had to do basically what he said. And this is the empire that he ruled. This was pretty much the known world at that point. So he ruled it all. I don't know if my mouse is going to behave. Anyway, so yeah, the entire known world. Not to say that people didn't live in other places, but this was the seat of where humanity was, and huge parts of it. And this is right here. This Shushan right here, right, is the capital of the Persian Empire. The Shushan, and they also called it Susa. So you'll see that when we start to read, you'll see. Oh, okay, Susa, I see that. That's where the capital was, basically right smack dab in the middle of the Persian Empire. So yeah, if you recognize that. Now, this again is the book of Esther. I hope you guys have been reading the book of Esther. I would really encourage you to read it. And what I really like is the NLT version. I think it's really, really easy to follow and understand. You don't get tangled up in all the flowery language and the big words that we don't really use anymore. And so what I would say is, if you don't have an NLT version, you can go on your phone and download the YouVersion Bible app, And so it looks like this. I don't know if you can see. Let's see. Yeah, right there on the top, that one right there. It's going to look like that, okay? So that's the YouVersion Bible app. And I would really recommend getting that and downloading it, and you can change the version to NLT, and I think you can listen to it in that version. Either way, I would really encourage you to do that and to get really steeped in the book of Esther. So here is Esther. I don't know that that's what she looked like, but more than likely she was Persian. So she was likely that's, you know, dark eyes and dark hair. And so she was a Jewish girl, and she was raised up to the position of queen of the world. And the reason we're talking about this ultimately is because we are the queen. We are the bride of Christ. We are the ones who've been raised to a position of authority. This is what this is all about. And you're going to see today that she had the crown put on her head. And so we, as mankind, as the people of God, are being crowned. That is what this is all about, what we're experiencing. So if you go to my website, freedomforce.live, or melissaredpill.com, you can get there either way, go to scroll down and you will see this beautiful sign of the Son of Man. I've talked about this many times. Most of you know all about it. I'm not going to go into the detail right now, but this is, it's also called the woman in labor in the Old Testament. This is the birthing of the kingdom, but it's also the coronation of the queen. Now, there's Cassiopeia, which is in the northern sky. If you look in the northern sky, you'll see one that looks like a W, and that is her throne next to Cepheus, and of course, which is the throne of our Lord Jesus. She is, that's her, where she's seated. This is what we are experiencing in the big picture, that we have been basically in exile. Slaves, all of mankind, every man, woman, and child, until we matured, until we grew up, as it talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or is it 13? I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about that when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And so this is where we are putting away the childish things of being under the boot of the criminal cabal, being led around by the nose by them, believing whatever they told us. We're growing up and we're saying, oh, we are the queen. We can think for ourselves. We are ruling and reigning with Christ, not being under their boot. And so you notice in this beautiful sign that she's receiving this crown. This is, and if you notice that she has the crown, which is 9 stars on her head, but on this particular day, September 23rd, 2017, 3 more stars came into alignment. This was the crowning, saying, okay, now take your seat of authority as royalty, as the bride of Christ, and rule with me on this earth. And at that moment, there was a great awakening, and many of you awakened. Not everyone has awakened yet, but many of us awakened around that time, and more over time have awakened to fight in this battle against the evildoers. That is what we're experiencing as humanity. So I want you to see that this is really ultimately what this Esther is about, that she was raised to this position as the queen. She received the crown, and so have we. How cool is that? Y'all like that? Isn't that cool? All right, so now I want you to see, this is a very interesting thing that I had never heard about. I'd never realized that Esther means star, Estar, Estar. It makes sense now. I never realized that until I started doing a little research. Like, oh, wait a minute, Esther. So the name is most commonly associated with star, derived from the old Persian word setara, meaning star. This connection is reinforced by its link to the planet Venus and the Babylonian goddess Ishtar, who was associated with the morning and evening star. Now, something that's super cool is you might remember that on October 10th, I posted that video about the star that was going to appear on Christmas and in the sun. Remember, I've shown you guys this, and I've talked about it several times, but I just think that that is super cool. Let me see if I can go. Yeah, there's my Melissa Red Pill. Don't forget to always like and share the things over on my Melissa Red Pill. I really, really appreciate it. We are growing, so I really appreciate you guys helping me to retweet and like, and always put likes in, comment and all that. So that really, really helps. It does. So for people to see it. So this is where I was talking about this Venus that was standing in the sun on Christmas Day. So it was, let me see if I can scroll down. You see it's,
or you start
it's
to
getting
see
closer and closer. And then on Christmas Day,
really, really
it was
close.
Actually
and
in
so
the sun.
At the end of December.
What's so cool is that's actually the Esther star. Let me see if I can go back. Yeah. That's the Esther star. It says here, the star, the connection is reinforced by the planet Venus.
How cool is that? And so Venus has always been thought of as the planet of love, the planet of beloved. And so you think of Esther, the queen, or we as the queen of the world, the true royalty that rules and reigns with Christ, that as far as God's people all over the world who love him, then and you know, just love humanity and want to have the world a beautiful place, that is represented by love now and represented by Venus. I thought that was super cool. So her name also means to hide or conceal, because she did conceal her identity. So I just found it interesting that Venus was concealed in the sun. How cool is that, right? Concealed in the sun on Christmas. It was hidden by the sun. And so there's an angel standing in the sun. And I just feel like this is a pointing us to, very likely to Esther, and that this moment when this happened on Christmas was, that's another sign that this is the end of the main battle, and it's time to charge and bring down their empire. And as you remember, and I'll talk about this at the end, but Daniel, I guess I could talk about it now. Daniel chapter 12 talks about that there will be, you know, how long is this going to last? How long is this war going to take? I don't know why this close. Anyway, so it says until times in half a time, which is 1260 days. Time is 1 year. Times is 2 years. And time half a time is a half a year, which is, if you add that up, it's 3.5 years, 1260 days. So we completed that, in my opinion, on Christmas Day of 2025. And now it's that we're moving toward, we just completed to the 1290 days, that the sacrilegious object that causes desecration will be destroyed. In other words, they will no longer be able to sacrifice humanity. And when their ability to do all this evil to us is over, whether it's because the money they have, the money dries up, because their power dries up, whether it's NATO or the UN or the WHO or whatever, when all that dries up, then we can pull their system down. Okay, and we're going to see that with Esther. And what did she do in back in the day? It says, blessed and holy are those who wait and remain until the end of the 1335 days, which is Purim. 1335 takes us directly to right here, from starting at 1260 at Christmas Day until the 33 is Purim. I find that very, 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 very interesting and very likely the correct. So, and now I want you to just connect it to this beautiful story about Esther. All right. So now, also, I will talk a little bit later about Hadassah means the myrtle tree. The myrtle tree is about the blessing. Let me see. Maybe I have it right here. Yes, I will. I'll go ahead and talk about it now. Hadassah means a myrtle tree. And so the difference between when the myrtle tree comes, it's replacing the thorn bushes. It says in Isaiah 41:19 and Isaiah 55:13, where the myrtle replaces the thorn bush and briar, signifying the reversal of the curse and the establishment of peace and prosperity. How about that? Isn't that awesome? This is exactly what we are seeing, is the reverse of the curse, the removal of their thorns. They have been a thorn in everyone's side for also so long, whether it's the people, God bless the poor people in Iran, what they're going through. I just pray very soon with the armada going over there, they're going to be rescued. You know, with this stupid storm, I don't know what's going on with that, whether it's the good guys or the bad guys. I don't know. Maybe both. Maybe it's what the bad guys were doing. They meant it for evil and the Lord's going to meet it for good. Maybe that's what it is. Either way, I'm sick of how they are weather insurrectionists. All the things that they have done that has been a thorn in our side. Again, the poor people of China and just on and on. How they've stolen from us all that we were learning about as far as what's gone on in Minnesota and California and Maine and every state, really. All the ways that they have been a thorn bush in our side. And we're replacing that with the myrtle tree. It's talking about the establishment of peace and prosperity. The Golden Age. If you guys are not familiar with this book, The Golden Age, I just put this one out about a month ago. The Golden Age, all that we get ready for all the wonderful things that God has promised to us in the Golden Age. It's over on Amazon. So, and don't forget, please put a review over there. I would really appreciate that too. All right. So yeah, this is what her name is about, the myrtle tree. And she did. She replaced the curse that Haman had put on the people and replaced it with the blessing. And of course, we're not going to get to all that today, but this is what after she was done, this was the look on Haman's face. And that is the look on the face of the evildoers, the New World Order, the Jamie demons of the world and all of their ilk, now that we have destroyed them. Really, they're done. They're done. They're done. They have their power's taken away because their money's taken away. For those of you who may not be familiar, is that gold, it just hit $5,000. Right now it's at $49.99, and it's stopped. They're not trading right now, I guess, or reporting the numbers. But bottom line, it hit $5,000. They're done. They're done. And silver hit $103, almost $104. They're done. They're out of everything. So that's their look on their face. And again, can I quote Habakkuk 2 again? Soon your captives will taunt you. They'll mock you, saying, what sorrow awaits you. Now you'll get what you deserve. Whoo, praise the Lord. All right, so let's get started on reading Habakkuk. That was Habakkuk I just quoted. This is Esther. Let's read some Esther, and we'll talk about what in the heck is going on with being under this king. And the problem is, he is as kings go, you know, he has had sometimes of a good qualities. We'll see at the end of the book. But the problem was, a king like anyone except our Lord Jesus, who's the king of the world, are easily tyrants. They just, off with their heads. They're just so easy to become tyrants. That's just the history of the world. It's all these people have become tyrants. Let's go. Let's read it. These events happened in the days of King Xerxes, or Artaxerxes, who reigned over 127 provinces stretching from India to Ethiopia. That was the map I just showed you. I'll show it to you again. This one right here. Is that it? No, that one right there. Yeah, from India all the way to Ethiopia, way over here, okay? Okay, so that. All right, so at that time, Xerxes ruled his empire from his royal throne at the fortress of Susa. Susa, again, here it is. Let me see if I can get that to show you. Susa is right here in the middle, okay? That's where he ruled from, and so she is going to be ruling right there along with him. Oh, goodness. Bella's ripping something apart. All right. So it says, the wrong chapter. It says, in the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his nobles and officials. He invited all the military officers of Persia and Media, as well as the princes and nobles of the provinces. The celebration lasted 180 days. Can you imagine? 6 months. 180 days. A tremendous display of the opulent wealth of his empire and the pomp and splendor of his majesty. Okay, so let's just be honest. Not everybody got to go. Not everybody got to go. This is for the haves, and the have-nothings were left out in the cold. That's really what it really boiled down to. Not everybody got to participate in this. And he gave presents, and it was a big to-do, and they had plenty of alcohol, which I'll show you about that, what happened on that. But when it was over, the whole 180 days, they've gone through all this time of 180 days. It's over, the king gave a banquet for all the people from the greatest to the least who were in the fortress of Susa. It lasted for 7 days. This celebration, just for the top muckety mucks, this lasted for 7 days and was held in the courtyard of the palace garden. The man liked to party. he liked it for people bow down to him and, you know, coddle him and to brag on him. And he just, that was his deal. The courtyard was beautiful. Anybody have any questions about that? I mean, that is clearly his thing. He's full of himself and he wants everybody to brag on him too. We've talked about that with President Trump, and that's not the case. We love him and we appreciate him, but the man is willing to take all the grief and the guff, and you know, he's not a tyrant, right? Clearly. And here we are, you know, we love and appreciate him for what he has done, but he's not someone who has to have that adoration. He's willing to take a bullet for, you know, to save our country. That's what a true leader does, right? Anyway, so the courtyard was beautifully decorated with white cotton curtains and blue hangings, so white and blue, which were fastened with white linen cords and purple ribbons to silver rings embedded in marble pillars. I mean, they spared no expense. They put on the whole dog, which were, and the gold and silver couches stood on a mosaic pavement of, I have no idea how to say that word, porphyry, whatever, and marble, mother of pearl, and other costly stones. This was the party of all parties. This was the biggest to-do there ever was. Drinks were served in golden goblets of many designs. There was an abundance of royal wine reflecting the king's generosity. By edict of the king, listen to this edict. You're going to love this edict. By edict of the king, no limits were placed on the drinking, for the king had instructed all his palace officials to serve each man as much as he wanted. Okay. I'm thinking this is a recipe for disaster. A lot of drinking, a lot of carousing, a lot of carrying on. And there you go. I'm thinking this is not going to end well. That's just what I'm thinking. That's what my daddy would say. This is not going to be good. And so, yeah, he really, really probably had just a little bit too much alcohol. We're going to see that in just a second. At that time, Queen Vashti gave a banquet for the women in the royal palace of King Xerxes. So there's two parties going on, one for the women, one for the men. All right, on the seventh day of the feast, when King Xerxes was in high spirits because of the wine, he told the seven eunuchs who attended him, Behuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagtha, Zethar, and Carcass, whatever. There's a lot of, hopefully those are kind of close to the names. He told them, bring the queen with the royal crown on her head. Okay, let me tell you what I think is going on. He's drunk as a skunk. He's drunk as a skunk, and he's not thinking clearly. And somehow or another, he thinks about, oh, I have this beautiful queen. I bragged on everything else. I bragged about the marble pillars, and I bragged about how great I am, and everybody's bowed down to me and thought I was so wonderful. What else do I have to brag about? Oh, I have a beautiful queen. A beautiful queen. And I'm going to have them bring her to me to bring and to parade her around in front of all of my guests, all of these men. I could be wrong, but he says, with the royal crown on her head. And I think that was maybe all she was supposed to wear. I think so. Because look what happened. He wanted the nobles and all the other men to gaze on her beauty, for she was very beautiful. And when they conveyed the king's order to Queen Vashti, she refused to come. If she was going in her royal robes and all the rest of it, she probably would have gone. She probably would have gone. Now she probably knew that these people were drunk and it was maybe not be good. She maybe had heard what was occurring over there. Either way, It does not tell. It does say that he wanted all the other men to gaze on her beauty. Not a thought that it was probably the wisest thought he'd ever had. And I'm thinking that was a lot of the wine talking. Okay, so yeah. She, either way, whatever it was, whatever she was being asked to do, she did not think that it was wise or safe or good. And she's, nope, not doing that. So this made the king furious and he burned with anger. This is another thing. It must have been something pretty intense for her to say no, because he's the king of the world and he can be off with your head that quick. And so she knew that she was, you know, risking her life by saying no. And some people play her out to be, a fool. It may be, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't really say anything else about her. I think this is probably pretty wise of her. Hold on. for her to say no and not to come to this drunken mess. Either way, I don't think that she, I'm sure she was beautiful. I imagine she was, you know, had a lot going for her. She's queen of the world. But I don't think that she had the qualities of Esther, which we're going to get to in just a second. And the difference there is the faith and the wisdom and the purpose. Again, as the phrase, the main phrase from this book is, for such a time as this. She, as great as Vashti was, I don't think that she was someone who was probably going to put herself in a position of danger potentially for the people, which is exactly what Esther did. Okay. And let's be honest, what President Trump has done. And to be honest, many of us have put ourselves in danger. This is the whole point of us ruling and reigning with Christ, not so we can brag about our position and all the things that we have, but that we are laying ourselves down as a servant. The one who wants to be the greatest of all must be the servant, right? And so she probably was not of that nature, okay? Either way, this is what's happening. He immediately consulted his wise advisors, who knew all the Persian laws and the customs, for he always asked their advice. Their names were, I'm not going to say their names, it's too many weird names, 7 nobles of Persia and Media. They met with the king regularly and held high positions in the empire. He says, what must be done to Queen Vashti, he demanded. What penalty does the law provide for a queen who refuses to obey the king's orders properly sent through his eunuchs? Obviously, he's saying properly sent through the eunuchs because he knows in the back of his head that this was not proper. There was nothing proper about it. There was nothing proper about it. And I'm thinking everybody, it says immediately consulted with the wise advisors. These are wise, I don't know how wise they are. Maybe they are normally if they're not drunk as a skunk for 180 days. So here you go. And, you know, he's immediately consulting them. They're still, it sounds like they're probably still wasted, right? And so he's saying, what must be done to her? Well, they've got to answer now. They can't say, let's just all think about this a little longer. They can't say that because the king is furious and they do not want to catch some of his fury. They're not willing to say that. Now, someone like Daniel would have said, you know, that it would be a better idea for us to wait until cooler heads prevail. But it doesn't appear that any of these people, Karshina, Shethdar, Admatha, Tarshish, Miraz, Marcina, Mamukin, were of the ilk, like, were of the type of, like, Daniel. They were not wise men like what we would, you know, need in this type of situation, who knew how to work around the king's drunken madness. Anyway, that's not an easy thing to do. But here with the Mermukin answers, he says, oh, Queen Vashti has wronged not only the king, but also every noble and citizen throughout your empire. Women everywhere will begin to despise their husbands when they learn that Queen Vashti has refused to appear before the king. Before this day is over, the wives of all the king's nobles throughout Persia and Media will hear what the queen did, and they will start threatening their husbands in the same way. There will be no end to the contempt and anger. Oh, great. Thanks. He's just adding fuel to the fire. Thanks, Mermukin. Appreciate that. Yeah. And just making him feel not only that he's, that this is justified, what he has done, but really that you need to go further and make it even, you know, do something even more rash. It's just making matters worse. Thanks a lot, Mermukin. So if it please the king, we suggest you issue a written decree, the law of the Medes and Persians, that cannot be revoked. You know, all these edicts, they couldn't reverse an edict. You know, we can reverse an edict. We're not, okay, we're not married to an edict. If it goes out, we can go and change it. But not back in the day. This edict of the king could never be revoked. That's madness. It should order that Queen Vashti be forever banished from the presence of the King Xerxes, and that the king should choose another queen more worthy than she, someone who'd be willing to come and parade herself around in front of all the drunken fools. Right? Let's look at this symbolically. They do not want a queen in this world The evildoers do not want a queen in this world who will rule and reign with Christ, who will bring order and goodness and peace in the world. They want things, they want the countries ruled by the UN, which did not bring peace. They want the world run by the WHO, which did not bring health. They want the world run by this, these queens who will just do whatever they're told, not a true queen who will speak reason and you know, make things be done right. So I just, I think it's really cool when we look at the book of Esther, not just about it being a story in time, but as a bigger picture of the, that we are the queen of, that Christ is the king, and that we are ruling and reigning with him. And how do we do that? So that's what they're saying. We need to get a queen who will be willing to do just anything she's told. Just like the people in the media, mainstream media, they will do anything that they're told. They will spew any kind of lie that they're told. People in Hollywood, they'll spew any kind of propaganda that they're told. That's who they want ruling and reigning. All of these, you know, education and the Hollywood and the, you know, entertainment and the government and everywhere, the health, everything, they want it to be run by these fools, these women, ones who are not worthy, the queens who are not worthy. Okay. When this decree is published through the king, through the king's vast empire, husbands everywhere, wherever their rank, will receive respect from their wives. That's what they want. They want to be able to have no responsibility. I'm not picking on men. I'm not picking on men. I hope it doesn't sound like I'm picking on men. But this is, the evildoers want this, where there's just absolute pandemonium. How does it work in a household for 5 minutes if people are mistreating, if one person is mistreating the other? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Newsflash, it does not work. If anyone feels that they can get away with treating the other person in a, badly, it's going to, It's going to go south very quickly. Amen? Amen? Our whole thing is that we, as it talks about in Ephesians, I think it's at chapter 6, he says, you know, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And women, see that, to it that you respect your husbands. You know, the back and forth that we treat each other with love and respect, and not like this, not like they're talking about here, said that the women must respect their husbands, and that they can do anything. Look at this. At the very end, it says, the kings and nobles thought this made good sense. Of course they do, because they're drunk. So he followed Mermucan's counsel. He sent letters to all parts of the empire, to each province in its own script and language, proclaiming that every man should be the ruler of his home and should say whatever he pleases. Okay. Recipe for disaster. That's a recipe for disaster. For either the women to treat their men however they please, you know, how, you know, or the men to treat the women however they please. Not good. Okay. It's always got to be done in love and service to each other, or it's not going to work. Okay. So I thought that was, there you go. That's the first chapter of the book of Esther. So I hope you guys got a lot out of that. So that, setting the stage. Okay, so here is that place, Shush. Maybe they should have shushed. Susa or Shush. That's where the seat of power was. And so it doesn't look like that many people live there now, but back in the day they did. And this is maybe what Vashti looked like back in the day. Who knows? We don't really know what she looked like. But she was, I'm sure, very, very beautiful. And they want her to wear this fancy crown, and probably that was all. All right, so now, Vashti is gone. We do not know what happened to Vashti. We do not know if she was killed. We don't know if she was banished where she couldn't come back. If she was banished out of the entire empire. We don't know. It doesn't say. Here is chapter 2. After Xerxes' anger subsided, and probably the alcohol, after he sobered up, he began thinking about Vashti and what she had done and the decree he had made. So at this point, he is either one of two things. He's either not able to reverse his edict, which we know that that's the case. These edicts are, you know, hard and fast. Or if she was dead because he was in such a drunken stupor and so furious that he had her killed, it wouldn't be surprising. And he's a tyrant, you know, and get away with that. But if she's dead, they can't bring her back. Okay? So, it doesn't say, we don't know. Either way, she's gone, and she's not coming back. Okay. So, but he's now he's sobered up and he's sorry. He wishes he had not done this, but it's too late. So his personal attendants suggested, let's search the empire to find beautiful young virgins for the king. Let's find someone else to replace her. Let's find, as they were saying before, another queen that is better than she is. And again, they don't want someone who's a really good queen. They want someone who is, you know, who will do whatever, you know, whatever evil thing, just like in this day, just like I was just describing. In what we call the seven mountains, the education, the entertainment, the government, the health, the, you know, all the different things. Let the king appoint agents in each province to bring these beautiful young women into the royal harem at the fortress of Susa. Haggai, the king's eunuch in charge of the harem, will see to it that they are all given beauty treatments. After that, the young woman who most pleases the king will be made queen instead of Vashti. This advice was very appealing to the king, so he put the plan into effect. Again, this is the way that they're going to do this is a little bit more like what you would think of a tyrant doing, because I'll just tell you ahead of time what they're doing. They're going around, and these women, young women, do not have an option to say, oh, I don't want to do that. Again, with the overbearing, oppressive tyranny, right? So they come along and they take you and say, you're going to do this. And when you do this, you've got to sleep with the king. And then you'll be in his harem forever. And, you know, if you're not chosen to be the queen, you are going to be in the harem and you will never be able to marry. You'll never be able to have children. Unless the king just happens to pick you and you know, make you pregnant. But the idea of having a normal life, that's over. Forget that. It's not going to happen. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? The thought of that is, he thought this was great. He thought this was a great idea. He's not at all thinking about how this would affect any of these people, or it's like, you know, that thought doesn't even cross his mind. There you go. That's what happens when you have a tyrant king. They don't care. They don't give even a thought to how it would affect anyone else. And the honest truth is, it's, you know, was probably not, there were not a lot of great things that you know, the people were suffering out in the world. And again, most of the people, you probably didn't even care. As long as they would go and pick the vegetables or whatever they were supposed to do, he was fine. He didn't really care about their living conditions. But unless you were in the top muckety muck, right? The top group. But which would you prefer? Would you prefer to have a life that's maybe a struggle, maybe difficult, maybe you don't have hardly anything, maybe you don't always have, you know, food on the table, but you have you're free to marry and have children and live a normal life? Or would you prefer to be in a harem? And you have everything in the world provided for you, but you're basically a slave. Right? So, Those are your options. So this is what he's going to do. And so that's what they do. They send out these people to pick up all these women, all these young women. At that time, there was a Jewish man in the fortress of Susa whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair. He was from the tribe of Benjamin and was a descendant of Kish and Shimei. His family had been among those who, with King Jehoiachin of Judah, had been exiled from Jerusalem to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. So remember, King Nebuchadnezzar hauled all the people off into Babylon. That was how Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got to Babylon. This is the same thing with Esther, Hadassah. Her name is, Jewish name is Hadassah, and her cousin Mordecai. And somehow along the way, the parents of Esther had died. So they're over in Babylon. And as I showed you on the map, there, you know, basically all of it was his empire. He ruled all of this anyway. And so they just had moved them over into Babylon for their own purposes, okay? But they still ruled this area, too. All right, so they're there, and so Mordecai is very wise, and so he has risen to a position of some type of authority, a little bit, and so just because of the excellence of his work. His family had been, okay, this man had a very beautiful and lovely young cousin, Hadassah, who was also called Esther. Her Jewish name was Hadassah, and so they pretty much kept that on the down low, that her, you know, what her Jewish name, and her Babylonian name was Esther. When her father and mother died, Mordecai adopted her into his family and raised her as his own daughter, because it seems like always that he's a good bit older, taking care of her. And so she had learned from him a lot of wisdom, and she'd also learned to honor him, and she'd also been taught the ways of following the Lord. And so she'd been taught God's word. And she was very, very respectful. You're going to see in all these situations, she's very, very respectful. As a result of the king's decree, Esther, along with many other women, was brought to the king's harem at the fortress of Susa and placed in Haggai's care. Haggai was very impressed with Esther and treated her kindly. So somehow or another, she made a very big impression because of her, I think just because of her behavior and her respectfulness and her just her mannerisms. He quickly ordered a special menu for her and provided her with beauty treatments. Now, everyone's going to get beauty treatments, but she gets something special even from the beginning. So Haggai recognized, I don't know, it doesn't say how. It was something about her. Was it something about that connected to Mordecai? I don't know. It doesn't really say. But either way, Haggai said, I'm doing something special for her. I think that he knew that she was Jewish and that she would require a special diet. She was not going to eat from the king's table, much like Daniel and the three young men. They refused to eat from the king's table. Remember that? They said, would you just let us eat from the foods that we're told to eat from God's word? And so they were allowed to do that. And so it says here that she was assigned this, of course, a special menu and beauty treatments. It was not like something he was forcing on her. I think that he was allowing her to eat the food that she was, it was from God's word for her to eat. He also assigned her seven maids, specially chosen from the king's palace, and he moved her and her maids into the best place of the harem. Very interesting. Very interesting. So she's kind of segmented off, and I don't think everybody got seven maids. Either way, she got seven maids, and I was researching this, and they were saying that each one would take care of her on each day. One for Monday, one for Tuesday, one for Wednesday, one for Thursday. And so then what would happen is if on the day that she would, and they'd have the same person do each day, each week. And so on the day that she would do special, like the worship, then it would not be obvious that she was Jewish, because this same girl who was her maid would see her every Saturday, which is the day of worship, and that she would do her regular routine on that day, and it wouldn't seem out of the ordinary, and she would just be doing her regular routine. I hope that makes sense. I don't know if I'm really saying that best, but either way, it would keep her identity as a Jew hidden, because it wouldn't draw attention to that she was doing anything out of the ordinary, because this is what they figured, that's what she does every day. Okay, so this is what Haggai did and what the Lord put in Haggai's heart to do for her, because this was all part of God's plan to raise her up into this position. And so she was protected. And so, in that day and age, you just couldn't tell who you were as a follower of God, because you're supposed to be like everybody else. You're supposed to be someone who believes that Xerxes is God, and Xerxes is the one who can do all things, and he's the one that you must bow down to. And even if he asks you to come and do something crazy, like walk around with just a crown on your head, then you have to do what he says, because he's God. And obviously, that's not where Esther's coming from. All right. So this is what the position that she was in this pre-harem. It was a kind of a harem, but then not, you know, it was the pre-harem and the post-harem, right? Esther had not told anyone of her nationality and family background because Mordecai had directed her not to do so. So she, again, has, you can tell that she has this great respect and believes and honors her cousin and does what he has asked her to do because she knows that he's got that wisdom that she trusts him. All right. Every day, Mordecai would take her a walk near the courtyard of the harem to find out about Esther and what was happening to her. So it appears that Mordecai, you know, whether he wanted her in this position or not, you know, they had always had to accept their lot. And the king is making an edict. You pretty much live in this world where you have to do what they tell you. And so, but he's always, you know, taking care of her wherever she is. So this is great. Before each young woman was taken to the king's bed, she was given the prescribed 12 months of beauty treatments, 6 months of oil of myrrh. Now, I did a little bit of research on myrrh, and because I'm like, this is interesting that they are having 6 months of treatments on with myrrh. That just sounds like a lot. That's a lot of myrrh. 6 months. So the reason for that, I think, is this. It has anti-inflammatory, antimicrobial, antiseptic, and analgesic properties. So in other words, don't be bringing up in here some of your dread diseases. So you, after 6 months, we'll know if you have any disease because we'll have purged it out of you with this myrrh. What do y'all think? I think that's what it was for. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yes. Speaking of good health, go to my health page because freedomforce.live/health, we talk about how to really have good health. And this is, they were using the myrrh to make sure that she was perfectly healthy. You know, we have over there where you can literally drinking silver solution and not the, it won't make your skin blue or anything like that. And it is an antimicrobial, antibiotic, antiseptic, you know, to cleanse your body. It's amazing. All these things that the Lord put out there for us that are not chemicals they're putting in your body, but it's all natural the way our ancestors used to use. Anyway, so, but she's using this myrrh, all of them are, for 6 months. He's like, I'm not catching some disease from the riffraff. So yeah, all this is sore throat, laryngitis, wound healing, acne, eczema, hemorrhoids. Yeah, they've just used all this digestive for ulcers, gastritis. Pretty cool, huh? Coughs, all that. So yeah, so this is what they were using on her and all the others for 6 months. And then followed by 6 months with special perfumes and other ointments. All right, so they're getting them spiffied up. They're already beautiful, but they're wanting to make sure that they don't have any kind of disease, and they also are in just the you know the best condition that they can possibly be in to go to the king. Imagine if that's your full-time job is just sit there and work on yourself. You know, it'd be like, can we do something else? Anyway, it was time for her to go to the king's palace. She was given her choice of whatever clothing or jewelry she wanted to take from the harem. But get this, that evening, hang on. Hang on, I missed something. There's something. Okay. This is not Esther's turn. This is just any of the girls' turns. Okay. They would be given a choice of any clothing or jewelry they wanted to take to from the harem. And that evening, she was taken to the king's private room. And the next morning, she was brought to the second harem where the king's wives lived. So you go through this for 6 months and then 12 months. You're all spiffied up. You're prepared. Then you go to this, yeah, with the king. It's like, yeah, I don't know. Did he take you to dinner? I mean, it's like, really? But that's it. This is their lot. This was their lot. This was what they had to do. Yeah. So they would be taken there, and then after that, brought to the second harem. It's like, you're done. Thank you very much. Probably not even get a thank you. You know, maybe he expected her to thank them, him, whatever. Anyway, but then now they're in the second harem, and if they are never called again, that's it. That was it. You're living in the second harem. And you can never marry and you can never have children. Unless he just happens to, unless you got pregnant from that. Okay. She would go under the care of Shashgaz, the king's eunuch in charge of the concubines. She would never go to the king again unless he specially enjoyed her and requested her by name. Probably not going to be that because it's like hundreds of girls. Esther was the daughter of Abihail, who was Mordecai's uncle. Mordecai had adopted her younger cousin, Esther. When it was Esther's turn to go to the king, she accepted the advice of Haggai, the eunuch in charge of the harem. She asked for nothing except what he suggested, and she was admired by everyone who saw her. So she, again, with the wisdom and the respect and the trust in people who knew more about things than she did. So that was really, that just tells you right there what Esther's, about her maturity level. And again, it goes back to here we are as rising into this level as the queen, all of God's people who are rising into these positions of rulership and authority, that we now have this respect for the Lord to do what he has told us to do, and our trust in him that to do whatever he says, even if we don't understand it, just knowing that he has the great wisdom to, that we honor him. And that's really where humanity had to get to, where we follow him. Okay. And, it's, and it, again, big picture, you think of that we are not following demons. We reject demons. We reject the thought of hurting children. We reject this idea of child sacrifice. We reject all these things out of hand. And so we're now saying, Lord, we want things done your way. Even people who maybe don't say that they are believing in Christ or whatever, everybody is just like, we just want everybody to get along. We want everybody to be at peace. We want everybody to have the things that they need. And okay, I'm just going to say something super quick. Right now, here it is, the 24th of January. We do see people out in the streets, and there, a lot of these people are trying to say, we want to protect the people from being evicted, sent out of our country. And so, I disagree with them politically. But it is a difficult situation because many of these people have come here and they were in a very, very difficult place, a very bad situation. Some of them, though, many of these people are very, very evil, MS-13 types, gang members who are intentionally here to cause a ruckus. But the people who are, many of the people who are out there who are protesters, I'm not talking about the ones at the top, the leaders and the paid ones. I'm talking about just the regular protesters, they are doing it from a heart of they want to protect the people. You know, even if we disagree with them or whatever, they're doing it from that heart. And so humanity has a heart. You know, we were told on the board, trust humanity. Humanity is not wanting to hurt people. We just want everybody to get along and everybody to be happy and have the things that they need. All right. So again, that's kind of where we are now, mature, that humanity has matured to that point. We're not trying to go and steal things and be marauding bandits and that type of thing. All right, so, maybe back up one other thing. You know, in America, I'm sure everybody here knows this, whether you're American or not, that we thought when we were having these wars, that we thought we were actually going to help countries to set them free and, and we would be willing to pay tax money, whatever, to help. And we didn't realize that the bad guys were doing this for evil. We didn't know that. We didn't realize what they were doing, that they were lying to us and the media was lying to us. So again, I'm just going to, what is humanity's heart? And I think a lot of people are very confused and a lot of people have been very deceived and a lot of people have been tricked and they follow the mainstream media and all that. But the point is they're doing it really for a good purpose. They're trying to help. They don't want, someone to be separated from their family members or whatever is being told to them on the news. All right. I hope that makes sense. All right. So back to the story. So she is this wise young woman, this beautiful girl who's just about to be the queen. And she's being crowned, she's being coronated because of who she truly is. And it appears that she is more worthy than Vashti, as it was saying in the last chapter. And so a person that would really be working in the interest of the people and not just for herself. This would not be her first choice to be taken into a harem, I don't think. Okay? And even if you become the queen, your life is not your own. Your life is where you just basically are in one type of harem that you are only called to the king whenever he chooses. So again, she's doing this because she has to, but she's also doing this because she recognizes this is the Lord's purpose for her. Just like you and I. Okay, Lord, you have chosen us to do this. We'll put ourselves at risk. We'll maybe upset some people. We don't mean to, but we're trying to save the world. And that's what is the whole thing with Esther. Okay? And that's where we've, you know, arrived. All right. So the wisdom was, again, she only took whatever Haggai had recommended, and she just trusted him. And so Esther was taken to King Xerxes at the royal palace in early winter of the 7th year of his reign, and the king loved Esther more than any of the other young women. He was so delighted with her that he set the royal crown on her head. Again, we're seeing this beautiful sign of the Son of Man, the crown being put on our head as the queen, the rule and reign with Christ. This is symbolically what is happening in this story. So she had the royal crown put on her head and declared her the queen instead of Vashti. To celebrate the occasion, he gave a great banquet in Esther's honor for all his nobles and officials, declaring a public holiday for the provinces and giving generous gifts to everyone. So they have a very nice party, but it sounds like this one is not the drunken fest that the other one was. Even after the young women had been transferred to the second harem and Mordecai had become a palace official, Esther continued to keep her family background and nationality a secret. She was still following Mordecai's directions, just as she did when she lived in his home. All right, so there you go. This is where we are. We're setting the stage for what is going to happen next. And so I'm going to talk to you very quickly, just read briefly what happened with Mordecai, because it's a key part of this story to set more of the stage. That one day Mordecai was on the duty. Now he's been raised to, you know, as a palace official because of her, and so he's at the duty at the king's gate, which the king's gate is the seat of authority. So, but he heard two of these eunuchs that I was just telling you about, Bigthana and Teresh. They were guards at the door of the king's private quarters. Okay, and they were angry at Xerxes, and they plotted to assassinate him. But Mordecai heard it. The Lord put him in a position that he heard it. But Mordecai heard about the plot, gave the information to Queen Esther. She told the king and gave Mordecai credit for the report. This went in the paperwork, in the books, that what he had done. It's important, remember that. When an investigation was made and Mordecai's story was found out to be true, the two men were impaled on a sharpened pole. There you go. Impaled on a sharpened pole. This was all recorded in the book of the king, History of King Xerxes' Reign. There you go. And from what I understand, okay, y'all ready? I'm sorry, this is early morning for me to be grossing you out, but what the impaling would be, not that they would stick a pole through your gut and make you go straight through. No. That would be way too quick and easy. No. This impaling, okay, y'all ready? This impaling is where you are in a position where you're held in a position, and a pole comes in your head, and a pole comes in your under you, and pierces you completely through from top to bottom. There you go. How about that for a way to go? How about that for a way to go? Anyway, there you go. This is, you didn't mess with King Xerxes. You did what you were told. And and so Mordecai exposed the plot, and it found out to be true. And so, but he did not get any accolades from that, which he was okay with, because he was a man who clearly did his job. He did the right thing, no matter what, whether anybody saw or whether he got any accolades from it or benefit from it, either way. So that tells you what type of man Mordecai was and what type of woman Esther was. And they are now in these positions right there in this key position with the king of the world. And so that tells you that the Lord has a purpose. And that goes back to what we just, the very first page I showed you on this. It says, for such a time as this. For such a time as this, the Lord had raised her into this position, and she knew that the Lord had had a reason for what he was doing. And the same thing with you and me. We've been through a lot. We've been through a lot. And but we counted the cost at the beginning, and we knew that we were doing it for such a time as this. There you go. All right, so now keep reading on into chapter 3. And what you can also do, is go to this book right here. Let's see if I, okay, this book. Let me just show you this one. This one right here. This is biblical. This one right here. If you go to this book, if you already have this book, or you can get it downloaded from Amazon for $2.99, get this book right here. This is biblical. And you can read this story, the 17th chapter. Seriously, it's the 17th chapter. There it is. And so here is the last chapter of this book, The Queen Who Saved the World. And so that'll give you where we're going, the whole picture of where we're going. And of course, we're going to go in a little bit more detail that I could go into in that book. And it would be a whole book for that. Anyway, so that's the one right there. If you're not familiar with my books, this is the wonderful time story about end times. And this is biblical. It's all these Bible stories like Esther that have told us, you know, given us a roadmap of where we're going. And so we are at the stage where we're headed in this book is to see how this bad Haman guy, let me see if I can go back and find his picture. This one right here. This one right, no, here, no. Oh, gosh. Anyway, that guy, Haman, hey, I call him Hateful Haman, how he had, was going to make a plot to hurt them and how he would be brought down. As well as all those who worked with him. All the entire cabal worked with him. And we celebrate every year at Purim on the new on the full moon in the springtime. We celebrate the destruction of our enemies. That's where we are headed. I have a feeling this is it. I hope this Purim is it. I think I've said that every year, but I really do think this is it. I know you do too. All right, so that is where we're headed. I think I showed you that. But yeah, so definitely check into the books if you're not familiar with those stories. And you'll also read more about like Gideon and Yael. If you don't know about Yael, boom, she's something else. Yeah, all these wonderful stories from God's Word and also the Major Clues for Minor Prophets. I just love that book. Especially because it's talking about what I was saying before, loot the silver, plunder the gold. There's no end to their uncounted wealth. They'll get what they deserve, finally. Minor prophets were telling us all about it. So the other one is, this is the, come on, little mouse, you can do it. This one right here is the one of the Decode of Revelation. It's very different from what you maybe heard, but it's very, very good news because it's the end times for them and 1,000 years of peace for us. All right. And now you can also share them with people. You can send them on Amazon. You can actually send them a copy. Did you know that you can do that? You can actually send people if you want to do that for like $2, whatever. All right. So I think that's it. I guess that's it. We're going to jet. What is this mouse doing right? All right. I think we better go. Let's pray. Thank you again, Lord. Thank you for how you have written in your word everything we need to know, and you've given us this beautiful roadmap about how and all these beautiful festivals so that we know what is coming. And we thank you that we will celebrate the destruction of our enemies. You say we'll look for our enemies and we will not be able to find them. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us wise people in these positions of authority and that you are raising us up, all of us up, to be ruling and reigning with you on this earth, in our towns, in our homes, in our wherever it is, you have put us in these positions. And this beautiful golden age that's headed up, that we're headed for, where the enemy won't be having their boot on our throat. We thank you for President Trump and ask you to continue to strengthen him and bless him and guide him and protect him. Protect everyone in the middle of this storm. Lord, if we lose power, Lord, we trust you that you're going to see us through one step at a time until we get to this beautiful day where there's peace and health and wealth for everyone. We know that's where we're headed. I thank you for everyone on the battalion. I pray you continue to bless them and use them in a mighty way, like Queen Esther, for such a time as this. And we give you praise that even though the enemy plans all these things for evil, that you intend them for good, and that you are using all that they've done for evil, you're using it to bless and rescue humanity. We love you, and we praise you, and we thank you in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. All right, guys, I love you. I'm so glad we got together. It's, you know me. I'll go do more than I was meaning to do, but that's okay. That's just as long as it takes. And I'm just glad we were able to be together to do that. So definitely keep reading the Book of Esther. Check out the book if you want to read it from there. And I guess that's it. I will talk to you. I'll be on the chat for a little bit later. Oh, tomorrow is Sunday morning. I'll see you at 11 a.m. Central. But if we lose power, I'll just see you when I see it. Okay? Don't worry. I'll be back. And I'll probably hopefully have enough power to be on social media. All right? I love you guys. And I will talk to you later.
Dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.